Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. It is again Truck Week. I'm your host, Francie, and today I am joined by the Ford F-150 Lightning team that drove that electric truck coast to coast from Jacksonville, Florida to San Diego, California, along with a team in the Rivian, the Cybertruck, and the Chevy Silverado EV. So four electric trucks racing coast to coast to see how their charging experience went, how they could efficiently do it. And let me tell y'all, they did not stop coast to coast. You've probably seen the videos, three-parter series. It's all out now. We have the links in the description. And today we're talking to the Lightning team. Welcome Jordan, Andreas, and Out of Spec Dave to the Out of Spec podcast. Can't wait to hear about the inside story of the Lightning. How are y'all doing? Andreas, you got roped into this, but I'm sure you were excited to do it. How did you get roped in?
Yeah, how did I get roped in? I got a call from Kyle like 3 weeks before the trip happened. So, hey, there might be a road trip opportunity coming up. And he told me about it. I was like, oh, yeah, we will go from like Florida to California. I was like, okay, cool. I'm down if I can make it work. If it's on over a weekend, right, I'll join for sure because I love road tripping. And then I hadn't heard anything for like the 3 weeks. And then 2 days, I think, before the trip, Kyle called me, hey, so you got to come to Jacksonville. And I was like, yeah, I'm down. Flew down there, took a day off work, and made it happen. It was amazing.
Love it. You were down for it. And Jordan, yeah. Of course, you love to be a part. I mean, you're part of the Out of Spec team, so I don't even know if you really had a choice in doing this. But Dave, you also had made it down from the Northeast down to Florida right before then, hadn't you?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, in the same exact truck that we ran from Jacksonville out to San Diego, Kyle and I piloted that truck from Tom Malogny's house in Jersey down to Daytona. And so I spent a lot of time in that truck. That was 1,003 miles and down from, you know, the Northeast down to Florida. And so I felt like I really knew the truck and I was ready for this cross country race. And I had so much fun and learning from the way Kyle, you know, like I look, he's my son, right? But I'd never seen him in such a competitive. And of course, I watched the Race to Vegas videos and all that. But, you know, until you're in there and it's like he's like, go, go, go. And, you know, you pull in and all this. It's a little bit different, you know, but so anyway, yeah, I spent a lot of hours in that F-150.
Yeah, you sure did. A lot of miles, a lot of hours with different people too. You went from a team of you and Kyle to a team of you and Jordan and Andreas. So I know how y'all all ended up in Jacksonville, Florida now. And then did you choose the Lightning or were you assigned the Lightning?
We were basically assigned, although I kind of helped Kyle kind of figure out who was going to be in what trucks. So maybe I had a little bit of adjustment to ensuring I had the fun people like Dave and Andreas on my team. And that's one of the major takeaways is we had fun. I think every team had fun, but because of some of the limitations, for better or for worse, depending on who you are, we were able to have maybe a little bit more fun because we sat at Chargers for a little bit longer than everyone else because of the way the Lightning charges.
Yeah, so we're going to get into all of that. And let's start. You're in Florida. You're all assigned to the Lightning. You have your team. How does this start? Do you have a start? Well, first, let's start with the specs of the Lightning, just in case no one's driven in it. Obviously, it's a Ford electric truck. They like to say it's an electric truck or like a truck that's made electric rather than an EV truck. You know, it still's got, it's a lot of work truck similarities. They want to keep it similar to the traditional truck, but what's the battery size? Like what are the other specs that we need to know as the audience of what you're going to be driving from coast to coast, what you did drive?
Yeah. I mean, I'll jump in with what I know. It's 131 kilowatt hours gross. This happened to be a Lariat, so it didn't have the big 22 inch wheels. It had a little bit smaller wheels and tires. And other than that is basically an F-150 big battery pack, ready to, I mean, it's a living room on wheels. I mean, it's just super comfortable, which we'll talk about. But you know, that was the spec and they're all basically the same. I spent a lot of time in a Platinum and that had the most amazing stereo system. This one also had a pretty good stereo system, but the Platinum, yep, that definitely has a little bit better stereo system, but they're all super comfortable, super, you know, wafty, great rides.
Mm, nice. Yeah. Okay.
We had a lot of a very comfortable ride. The Lariat's the second to highest trim below the, so it's right below the Platinum. We had heated and cooled seats, no massage in this one. I wish we had a Platinum for that. And still a good Bang & Olufsen sound system. And if anyone's curious, priced as tested, this was $84,000 and some change. So definitely a pricey beast, but still not the most expensive truck out there by any means. But probably one of the biggest cabs. I mean, the Silverado had a pretty good size cab as well, but the Lightning definitely, I think, stole the show for just the biggest, most spacious room. We had a nice glass roof. I mean, it felt awesome for us.
Yeah, and just this vehicle was a 2023, but it was manufactured in November of 2022. And when Kyle got it from Ford, it only had about 2,000 miles on it. So it's, you know, it's been around for about a year and 3 months, but it had very little mileage on it. And so that may be or may not be part of the reasons why we had some issues with it. But, you know, that those are the specs on that truck. And it was a dark navy blue, looked black if you squinted, but it was kind of a cool color. And it had a lot of room back there. I mean, you know, I'm 6'5", and Andreas, you're what, 6'2", 6'3"?
6'3".
Yeah. And when he was driving, I was sitting behind him. I had like 8 inches in front of my legs in this thing. It was just amazing. So
I was the really short one in the truck at 6 foot even, and we all just fit really great. So we had lots of snacks and we had plenty of room. So dual motor, if anyone's curious, dual motor, all wheel drive. And it was a trooper, honestly.
Yeah. Okay. So
I guess to answer your question, we started at the beginning of, I guess, Highway 10, even before it's a highway. It's just like some street that eventually becomes the highway at the beach in Jacksonville. So there's even a photo of me and Dave on the beach. We can maybe put that up there at some point, but a great fun starting point. And that was pretty wild to see both oceans. I mean, and Dave mentioned he had never driven across the country before, especially nonstop. So it was pretty cool to see.
Why would you do that when there are airplanes, right? You know,
exactly.
But now that, you know, I'm into it. So it was Neptune Beach to Dog Beach.
Wow. Fun. I mean, yeah, I love a good road trip. I feel like I'd opt for a car trip over an airport trip with Andreas.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, so you're starting off in Jacksonville, and you know a bit about the Lightning, obviously. Dave, you've been driving around. We're all familiar with electric vehicles. I'm sure you did some research, but you know, maybe we'll get into what research you wish you did in the future and yeah. later in the podcast. But okay, did you have a starting strategy? Did you? Yeah, well, I'll start there. Did you have a starting strategy?
Jordan, go.
We wanted to maybe use the navigation in the truck, but it has just been pretty bad. Even after this trip with other testing recently, the navigation can't seem to find the right chargers. It also can't tell you where the superchargers are. And that was a huge bonus we had. At the time of this trip, we were the only vehicle besides the Cybertruck that could use Tesla superchargers. So the mm-hmm. Rivian had not yet opened up to the network yet. So that was a huge perk for us and why some people even thought maybe we had a chance at winning. Because we had the ultimate flexibility, which was kind of relieving for us. I think we all left, and then Team Lightning, we were like, wow, we could just go anywhere. We can charge anywhere. It doesn't really matter. Electrify America, you know, all the CCS options. The truck never had any CCS issues, really. You know, the day before the trip, the Silverado team, I don't know if Max mentioned it, but we had a charging issue that bricked the truck on a random Mercedes charger. So it's just like, yeah, Lightning didn't seem to have those quirks. So we had the flexibility, which was giving us peace of mind. And mm-hmm. we ultimately used basically charger by charger. We decided where to go. We kind of figured out we could go close to 200 miles, just depending on the speeds. We did have some headwind, some tailwind at times, but different elevations and such. So it was kind of like taking it one at a time. But we typically would find a charger roughly 2 hours away. That would 2 to 2.5 hours. That would have whatever we needed. And we seemed to trust Tesla superchargers the most. Now, we couldn't use all Tesla superchargers. They weren't all open to the Lightning, but you could tell within the app, the Tesla app, which ones are accessible. And it didn't really matter what we used either, because whether it was America, Electrify America 150 or 350 or superchargers, they'd all pretty much give us close to our match charging speed, which is not a class leading max charging speed in any way. We were well behind the other trucks as far as the max, but the curve was relatively flat, so that took some of the stress out of it.
Okay. Yeah, so this is an interesting part. You knew you could use the supercharger network. You're also it was just after like Ford made the announcement, basically, which means that the adapters are still getting to the hands of people. We happen to have an adapter from Ford that you could use, but that was also key. You know, if we didn't have the connection to Ford, it would have not really been accessible. So it's exciting that since then Rivian has gained access to the supercharger network, but everyone's still waiting for adapters. So I'd love to hear. Okay, so it sounds like you knew before we started the call, like you told me, you charge a Ford to 80%, right? This was some learned knowledge that was like, okay, or the Lightning to 80%. Tell me a little bit more about that stat. Did you start out with like, okay, we basically know the range. We know we should charge it to 80%. We know the charging curve. So we'll go off of that at least, and then see if we need to adapt the strategy later on.
Yeah. I want to answer that, but I also want to just say that when we say that we were able to charge at Tesla, it was only V3s, no V2s. And when you get out west, they start thinning out a little bit, V3s versus V2s. And it wasn't every V3. This was 2 days after, I think, the announcement of the adapter, I believe, something like that. Maybe it was 2 days when we drove from New Jersey down. That was 2 days. So it was about a week and a half after. Yeah, so this truck is unlike any vehicle I've ever driven or owned or road tripped, where my strategy, you know, we call it the out of spec strategy, just run it down super low and charge it up until you can get just enough energy that you know that you can get to the next charging station and then plug it, you know, bring it back down close to zero and then continue to do that. And if you look at the way that Kyle road tripped the Cybertruck, that's exactly what he did. I think he did something like double the amount of charging stations that the Silverado did, right? And that's kind of how he has set the Cannonball record in the past. And you know, I remember when I was thinking about how to do this, my mind was into that. But this truck does not charge very well. First of all, above 80%, forget about it. It just drops off. The other thing is that the fastest we saw, no matter what state of charge we plugged in at, whether it was at 5% or 16%, I think the fastest we ever saw was 163, maybe kilowatts.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, compare that to the Silverado at a peak. And then it was pretty flat from that, whether we hit 157, 161, you know, every time we would plug in, we were still pulling at 80%, right around, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, right around 120, 123. Right.
Yeah. Around 120, which, yeah.
So it's a relatively flat curve. But what that means is from 80% or to charge from, let's say, 5% or 7% or 10% up to 80%, we were doing like 45 minute charges. And then What was amazing to me is as soon as it hit 80%, you could literally hear the V3 pumps just go, and you could look at the charging speed that we were getting, and it just dropped off a cliff there. So that was one element of it. And I'd like someone other than me to explain this whole concept of this sort of trying to plug in at a higher state of charge to maximize this sweet spot of, we've talked about 10 minutes. I'm not sure if it's 10 minutes, but there is a sweet spot of charging this truck that's unlike any other that I've run into. Jordan, why don't you give that a shot?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's not so much a sweet spot as much as an initial boost upon plug-in that can really be applied at any time. And Ford won't really confirm whether it is like 10 minutes, but that seems to be a pretty solid average of when you plug in, the truck will initially pull the maximum like 450 amps. And so if you are higher in the battery pack, when the cells all have a bit higher voltage, you actually will see a slightly higher speed. So if we plugged in at like 55% of a charger, we might see a peak of like 169 or something like that. Whereas plugging in at like 20% gives us like 160 or so. So very little difference, but that is a component. So the weird thing about this truck, all the other trucks are, okay, plug in as low as possible, just juice it and run when you can reach the next charger, whether it's like 40% or 50 or whatever. Whereas our truck was like, okay, we aim to arrive between 10 to 20%, maybe even a little higher. Even if we arrived at 40%, that's some with some chargers that might make sense. And then you just plug it in and you charge it until about 80. We tried once or twice doing like 75 or 70 just to like shave a little bit of time here and there, but that almost doesn't matter. It's like it charges so flat, you may as well just charge to 80, which would get you to the next charger with a slightly higher state of charge, which would give you a slightly higher boost on plug-in. It's literally near as makes no difference though. Like us trying to optimize this truck was a matter of like 1 minute difference, if that, per charging stop when you're talking about these variation in charge speeds.
Interesting. Okay, so you're learning about it, but you're also learning about the real potential of these certain strategic moves. Like how far is this really going to get us ahead in this quote unquote race? And so these are some interesting quirks about the Lightning.
Yeah, and we were trying to really optimize it. We got to know the truck very quickly. We consulted industry experts such as Kyle Connor, Tom Malogny. You know, we called these people. We had them on the horn, and we were like,
well, Tom actually called me because he was watching us on Glimpse, and he's like, Dave, what the hell are you doing? You're behind. Why are you behind? He's like, you got to charge to 80%. We learned that last week, and I was laughing. And so, because you know what happened was the first charging stop we did, we pulled in, we only charged to 66%, and we had some strategy because of where the location of the next charger was. And the one after that, we weren't really going to get any benefits. So we figured let's leave now. And then, you know, and again, that's embedded in my brain, leave as soon as you can. And then I guess, you know, we got yelled at. And so you have to charge it up to 80% because you're not really getting any benefit, you know, over the long period of time because there's so many charges.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. So I want to know also about the adapter. So what was it like to actually use the adapter at the Tesla supercharging stations? I think that's something that's a lot of people are going to experience. It might not be exactly the adapter, but it's probably going to be really similar to what y'all. What are you laughing at, Jordan?
Well, I could tell you, I was road tripping with two Tesla owners here because every single charging stop, we started pulling away and we realized we forgot to close the charging port. Because the Lightning does not have a powered charge port. So you have to manually close and not just like close it, like shove it closed because there's like some latch thing you have to really give some force on. So
it's Francie, I was so bad at forgetting to close that damn charging port that I developed a technique that where instead of getting out of the truck and going over, I could actually lean over with the door open and put my foot on the running boards and close it from within the truck. And this dude, Jordan, took a picture of my butt and it somehow made it into the trailer video, which is like really bad. And so, but that was a patented technique for when we all forgot about, even Andrea started adopting that technique of not leaving the truck. So
you guys are it's a great,
great technique. Yeah. even after the race, actually, I was still driving around in the Lightning for a couple of days in California and I still kept forgetting to close the charging door thing there, and then like other cars, other drivers on the road would show me, like point to the door, like it's not closed, like other EV drivers, right? Thank you.
Well, but to answer the rest of your question, Francie, the adapter itself, super easy to use, straightforward. I mean, initially getting used to like, okay, you unlatch it from the truck, then you unlatch the adapter from the cable, and like that took a little bit of a learning curve, but honestly, pretty straightforward. And plug and charge on this truck was awesome. We one time had to start a charge from an app, and it was actually not a EA. It was a Tesla app because it's supposed to be able to plug and charge at Tesla and EA. And we were able to do that every single time, except for one stop at a Tesla supercharger. It wouldn't auto start, or it would like start for a second and then fail. And then we have to go in and manually start it from the Tesla app. Also a pretty easy process, but honestly, charging this truck was easy. We just had some time to kill, which is why we kind of received the naming joke, like we were Team Food, not Team Ford, because we stopped at so many little, not sit-down restaurants, mind you, just fast food chains that were, you know, we were at the liberty of what's near these chargers. And usually it was Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell. We did Dairy not Queen. Eat well this week. Dairy Queen. We didn't eat well. Sonic.
I mean, I gained like 6 pounds on the trip, and then I was like, it was terrible. Some cardiologist wrote me a note. He's saying, Dave, you got to stop. And I'm actually listening to him. I went on a diet yesterday, but you know, we did eat well, that's for sure. And, you know, I remember the Burger King with the hats. That was just, you know, listen, what else are we going to do for 45 minutes?
Right? Yeah. Y'all have some fun. Yeah.
So I want to clear the air. We got some flack from comments and even teammates, even Kyle initially, before we explained to him, they were like, you're not taking this race seriously. And it was like, okay, Kyle, you know, if Kyle and Drew and them weren't piloting the Cybertruck, if they had like traded spots with the Rivian team, Cybertruck would have come in way behind the other two trucks, I think.
Absolutely.
Because Kyle is a mastermind at, and Drew, you know, they've had a cannonball experience. They know how to optimize the heck out of it. And every stop is like a F1 pit stop, like 40 seconds in and out type of thing. And with the Lightning, there's literally no way to do that. So we're like, okay, I guess we'll just have fun. But we still were racing. I mean, by my calculations, which I think are pretty accurate, if we had been more Kyle-like in our maneuvers and, you know, like running to grab the charger instead of walking to grab it, you know, across the entire 2,400 something mile stretch in the country, 48 hours or so, we could have shaved maybe 30 minutes at the most. Now that's assuming we hadn't broken down, but that's a different thing. If we were optimizing as best as possible, we would have come in still last, just a little bit slightly less last.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it's important that we took very seriously the fact is this is an amazing truck owned by a lot of people that's super comfortable, that we're putting it through an extremely, you know, sort of not a common use case for someone to road trip. And so we wanted to give the truck the best opportunity to show what it could do. And again, I think, you know, the way after watching episodes and seeing the way the other teams ran around and did all that, you know, next time I will definitely try to optimize more. I learned a lot about that. But again, to Jordan's point, it's not like you're going to be saving. We would have come in just based on the way that the truck charged, a solid 4 hours behind the R1T. All right. And because we had a little incident about an hour and a half outside of Yuma, Arizona, we actually came in around 9 hours after they all finished. Oh. I mean, when we pulled into Dog Beach, and I know we'll get there, the other teams had already, you know, celebrated, gone to bed, woke up, had breakfast, and then we pulled in. That's how bad it was.
Jeez. Yeah. So, I mean, listeners, if you didn't already know, the Lightning team came in last, but the other teams were kind of close in the time, even really close in the time that they arrived to Dog Beach in San Diego. But the Lightning, I was watching y'all on Glimpse too, and I was like, what's going on? Are y'all okay? Like, absolutely, what's going on? But I knew that it was out of your hands because you're all capable people. So you're dealing with the technology that's in the truck. And then what is this I'm hearing about? What's this problem? You ran?
Yeah, so let me take this one and start with the trip from New Jersey down to Florida, because, you know, Kyle and I, Tom wasn't really giving us much. He's cooking pizzas and, you know, brewing coffee in the back of his truck. And so we, Kyle and I, are trying to figure out how best to drive this F-150. And Tom wasn't really offering up that many suggestions. I mean, I'm kidding a little bit. We help each other, of course. We want to maximize the trucks. But we pushed it somewhere in South Carolina, and we were down at 1% state of charge and 2 miles of range. And you figure, okay, you're going to have a little bit of a buffer, probably 3 miles, 5 miles, something like that. And Kyle was driving the F-150, and he's like, Dad, I'm like losing power. And I said, you're kidding me. I thought he was goofing on me. And he lost power. And so we ran out with a very low state of charge, 1% state of charge. Fast forward to, it's now 1:30 in the morning or so. Andreas is driving. Jordan is not feeling well. I felt so bad for him. He was out just sleeping in the back. And I was actually kind of groggy myself in the passenger seat. And Andreas, explain what happened to you.
Yeah, sure. So I was driving along on the, which interstate was it? Was it still interstate 10?
10, yeah.
Or 10, eight. Okay, yeah.
Or maybe it was 8 at this point. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, anyway, doesn't matter. Driving along, 1 a.m. in the morning, you know, just cruising along with Blue Cruise, which is a great driver assistance system, by the way.
Really good.
Yeah, and we were 5.5 miles from the charger, I believe, from the V3 Tesla supercharger, and we had 13 miles left indicated, 6%. I was cruising along, and suddenly I realized, okay, the car is slowing down. Strange. I was giving it some juice. It took a little bit of juice, but we kept losing power. So I woke up Dave, who was like, you know, dozing a little bit right beside me.
Dave, I was probably snoring my brain off, and he's being kind there. Yeah, I was out, and he woke me up, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this, there's no way this is happening to me again, right? 2 weeks in a row in the same damn truck? No way.
So then we had a little heated moment for a second, because I wanted to keep going, because we were like 5 miles from the charger, right? It was like, and it was going to go downhill. It's like, maybe we can make it down there. It just put it in neutral and roll down the worst case. Dave was like, no, pull over. I was like, oh, we can't make it. No, pull over. I was like, okay, pull over. And yeah, and then that was interesting. So we came to a stop, and I checked the car scanner app right away. And then we had, I think, 6 kilowatt hours left, and just kept dropping for like, yeah, within a few seconds, it was just at zero. Wow. And then we were there, stranded. Yeah, it was me, first time running out of battery in an EV. And yeah.
Jeez.
Let's just talk about this for a second. All right. We as drivers are only as good as the information that's presented to you. We're making strategic decisions about where to stop based on not internals of the vehicle, but the information that you're presented with. And so had it said, you know, 5.5 miles to the next to Dateland, Arizona, and we were showing only 4 miles of indicated range, no doubt Andreas would have been going 30 miles an hour, right? Because you can feather it in. That's how it is. But we had 13 miles of range, 5.5 miles to Dateland, and all of a sudden we started losing power. There's no excuse for that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a major manufacturer that is showing us data that we are relying on in order to drive this vehicle. And so why it did that at 13 miles of range, 6%, whereas the last time it didn't run out at 6%, we took it all the way down to 1%. So I was saying, you're fine, just keep going. You know, 10 overs is what we were able to do. He's doing 10 over. We're gonna nail it perfectly. We're gonna run it. We're gonna get there right at whatever it is, 2% state of charge, and then the thing died. Yeah. So that was very strange behavior. And while this was all happening, I was watching Glimpse, and you know, I see the Silverado pull into Dog Beach. Then I see Kyle. We were like watching it real time, and then you know, then Kyle pulls in. And we were dead on the road for about 20 minutes. And I said, I can't interrupt those guys. Like, there's nothing we can do. We called Ford Roadside Assistance.
Yeah.
They were pretty good. And I say pretty good, but it was an interesting ordeal. But like, we weren't going to interrupt what was going on out in California. So as soon as I saw Kyle, I remember this, Andreas, as soon as I saw Kyle pull in and he's at Dog Beach, we gave him about 5 minutes. And it was like, okay, call him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, yeah. His dad, we're out of juice. He's like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm like, no, we're dead on the side of some road. There's tumbleweed going. We're an hour and a half outside of Yuma, Arizona, which is the nearest tow truck. And they're trying to wake the guy up. And it was just like, guys, we're going to be here a long time.
And it was like, poor things.
Yeah, it was like 2 a.m. So in middle of the night. So yeah, this delay in total was about 4 hours from this incident. And you know, as Dave said, it's we're the out of spec way, quote unquote, is arrive to a charger low and like just push it. And so this wasn't even pushing it per se, because we were actually 4.5 miles from the charger. So we had a delta of, you know, 8.5 miles extra, you know, buffer.
Yeah.
Great. But as it turns out, as explained by Ford, I think it was like, well, the truck was so many consecutive driving, charging without a moment to stop. And apparently it's programmed to where you need to stop and let the truck sit for 30 minutes for it to recalibrate. We had no idea. So this is great advice to like, this is why we push things to the limit, on our channel sometimes, because a lot of people won't push their vehicles to the limit, but if they know the limit, then that helps. Mm. That's genuinely good consumer advice.
Mm-hmm.
So we found out, if you are trying to road trip your Lightning across the country nonstop, this could be an issue with a 2023 model year. I don't know. It's like, who knows what's replicable or not, but
it was your experience. I mean, I was, when we had Cybertruck Week in Austin, when the Cybertruck first came out and we got our hands on it, I must've been like zoned out driving the Cybertruck to a supercharger, and it wasn't like telling me with any noise that I should be like taking exits to go to the supercharger. So I pass it. I'm absolutely zoned out. It's like a foggy day, foggy morning. And then soon I'm at 1% and I realize, oh my God, I'm miles and miles away from the supercharger. But like slowing down, and it even got to 0% and we got there. So it was doing all the calibration. Like, you know, I did get there luckily, like at 0%. But for, you know, it's really important for a car to tell you the range that it has based on all the information it knows. And I do think, you know, if you're on a road trip and you charge and then you don't just let it sit for 30 minutes after that to do all the battery management and all of that. So it is something to consider, something to look into more. That is really unfortunate. I didn't know that y'all were stranded until now. So I'm pretty sad. That's a pretty big bummer for y'all. But okay. So that obviously factors into things.
I want to add one thing. If you're thinking about buying an F-150, or if you already own one, I wouldn't worry about what happened to us as an owner of the truck, because what, again, like Jordan was saying, we were really pushing it, and it's a use case that is not something that, you know, a manufacturer would, who would do this, right? Who in their right mind wouldn't just stop and, you know, go to sleep and let the truck kind of like recalibrate, whether it's 30 minutes or 2 hours. And, you know, we were just continuously going. So if you're going to do that, be aware that the F-150 might do that with its current software stack. But also be aware they may make a change so that it doesn't do that. I don't know. And 2024, there are going to be some changes to the F-150 Lightning anyway. But, you know, I wouldn't worry about if you own the vehicle now, like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to try and, you know, go less than 6%. I think on average you'll be fine. But if you run out, don't call me. You know what I mean?
Like Dave said, they might change this. We're in a cool day and age where automakers can change a lot of things with just an over-the-air software update. And to Ford's credit, you know, they wanted to talk to us. So we talked to some of the engineers after this and kind of talked about what was going on. And they're gleaning information from us and also their customers. You know, they're doing, I think, the good company thing where they're trying to understand their product more and more. And they do a lot of testing. I mean, I've been to Ford's MPG, whatever that stands for their proving grounds up in Detroit, and it's an incredible facility. They do so much testing, but like, how much can you test for the crazy edge cases? That's where the media really comes in, and proper journalists are kind of finding those holes where the manufacturers either weren't able to test or didn't even know to test. So it's pretty fun to kind of be on this bleeding edge of things and like understand the limits of this truck, maybe better than some people at Ford even know the limits. And there's other things I hope they do change as well. You know, like we said, this truck is fantastic, amazing cruiser. Even today on the Batteries Bargains podcast for Batteries Included, we recommended a Ford F-150 to someone because it's the right truck for a lot of people. In fact, hold on. Yeah. So better hat for our audio listeners.
Put on a cowboy hat now.
But the thing, like, I hope they just make some tweaks, which they can easily do. You know, we had this like fancy car scanner app reading data off the OBD2 port to give us more information that's just not available in the truck. It is available. Like, they just choose not to display it. And for a customer experience, especially if you're going to a Tesla supercharger, which are now widely available, you can't tell how fast you're charging. The Tesla charger doesn't tell you. The Ford truck doesn't tell you. Now, your app can probably tell you, but how many people really want to use their apps unless you're like a Tesla or Rivian owner, because the apps are just kind of falling behind a bit. So I hope they add that simple piece of data to the screen. It's totally possible. It's easy to do, but that's valuable information that I hope Ford does take away from some of these things. I think enough people have complained about their Mach-E and their Lightning about not seeing their charging rate. And I think it's pretty important. I mean, even recently with other testing with like Rivian stuff, it was like Tesla superchargers are great. I'm glad they're opening up, but they're still not flawless. I mean, Andreas had some issues recently in the Rivian where he plugged into a Tesla supercharger, didn't get full speed, but the truck was still technically charging. So how would he know? So it was good that the Rivian told him. So I'm hoping Ford really picks up on that.
Yeah.
Maybe one more. So if there's one more comment to all this. So if you're stranded on the shoulder, right, which is pretty uncomfortable, right? But I would say around 90% of trucks and cars going by were actually moving over, which you really appreciate in those situations. If you've never been in such a situation, you don't really know how uncomfortable it is. So just as a, you know, public information here, always move over for cars that are on the shoulder. It makes so big difference. You just feel safer because it takes only one distracted person, and you never know, right? They could just crash into you. So
I do agree. I think greater than 95% of the cars moved over. And you know, we were nervous, right? Because you always, you know, you're on the side of the road. We had our flashers on. We had another spotlight, flashing light that was going, that we put up on top of the rear deck, which I think definitely helped. Boy, I'll tell you what though, when that flatbed showed up, this sucker was like It was a matte black painted flatbed from 1998. And when I talk about painted, it was painted with like a paintbrush. This thing was a diesel 12 or 15 speed. The guy, like it, he was running through the gears after we got the truck loaded up, and only Andreas and I could fit in the cab with the driver. And Jordan, he sat in the truck in the F-150 on top of the flatbed.
Yeah, that was a wild ride.
Jordan just kept sleeping through it all in the back. No, he didn't even know what was going on.
I was like, if I fall over, this truck's crash tested. That's good.
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, this is, I'm sure that was your knight in matte black armor showing up, and I'm sure that was a huge relief. And then Andreas, I want to ask you, because you know you drive a Tesla FSD, full self-driving, all the neat things that basically go into this car can help me not have to drive it. But so tell me about Blue Cruise. How did y'all use that the whole time? What did you like about it? What, you know, tell me about Blue Cruise.
Yeah, I would say we used it 99% the time
that we're driving. That we could. Blue Cruise. So the back to the rules really quick. The rule was we could go up to 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, unless the speed limit was 80, in which case we cap it at 85. Now Blue Cruise, unlike autopilot, restricts you to 80 and not 85. So unfortunately for those moments where we were driving over 80, like 85, where we were allowed to by the race rules, we were just using sort of lane centering. It's not the best, but it does work okay. But actually the brief amount of time that I was able to drive when I wasn't feeling super sick was in some decently curvy roads out in West Texas. So I wish I had this hat at that point, but I was listening like long sweepers and trying to keep it, you know, engaging curvy roads, but still trying to keep it nice and smooth. I think Dave was trying to sleep a little bit too. So
Enjoyed it. What I really liked about Blue Cruise, which you can't do in a Tesla, is in lane repositioning. So even though you're engaged in Blue Cruise, you can still adjust the steering a little bit. You know, if you're passing a truck, for example, right, you can move your steering a little bit and the car will move over without disengaging, which is very nice. So I missed that in the Tesla. With the latest FSD V12, it does a better job with, you know, but that's a different topic.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Blue Cruise, great for sure.
Good. The VinFast does that too, lets you adjust while it's still driving, which I really appreciate, because you move away from semis, you know, you can avoid a pothole or something and it doesn't freak out, like, you know, fight you, which I do like. So overall, Blue Cruise, I think I really appreciate when a car can help me not drive it, whether it's, even if it's just a little, speed cruising, whatever that's called. What's that called when you set your... Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So,
you know, Francie, it was really funny because, you know, you might hear that Andreas, he's not from New Jersey. You know, he's from Germany. And you know, Blue Cruise, when it has these two sensors that it can see your eyes and it allows you to drive hands free. Not this German hands free Blue Cruise. He's got both hands on the wheel, even though he's
in the beginning.
Every time he would do it, Jordan was giving him crap for it, and I was cracking up. It was so funny. It's like, what? Why do you even have Blue Cruise? Just, you know, you don't need it. You know, he's like, well, I don't know. That's not how we drive in Germany. You know, you gotta have
safety first.
In Germany, you go 150 miles an hour. You know, you gotta react.
By the way, not one phantom braking.
I was gonna say this too. Yeah,
no, that's phantom braking.
Not one phantom braking on either of our trips, from 1,000 miles down from Jersey to Florida and then 2,350 across. Not one time.
Okay, that's really nice. Yeah, because that's a typical thing that people experience, is that the car will think it sees something and it'll react, and it is uncomfortable for everyone inside of the car. And it can be also a factor of safety too. So it sounds like Blue Cruise is a pretty good amenity, like a definitely great ad that provides a lot of relief, and then nice confident control over the car while you're driving.
And what I would say is that even when you're on Blue Cruise, and then for whatever reason, like some of the West Texas hills, when it's a mapped system, so when it's, for whatever reason, it's not mapped, I found maybe this is a little different from Jordan because you were driving those West Texas hills. That was like really driving through there. Whereas, you know, a lot of the driving was just very straight. I even felt like the lane centering and the adaptive cruise was quite excellent, even when you were not engaged in Blue Cruise. I thought it was every bit as good as Tesla Autopilot.
Yep.
Great.
No lane changes, right? But it worked very well. I like that. One other thing I wanted to say, we hit a massive rainstorm in Tallahassee, and I was driving, and that truck felt planted the whole time. And this was like, okay, is that a tornado? What is that over there? This was really like respectable rainstorm, and it felt great, you know, the whole time in there. So
good.
That was nice.
Love to hear that. Comfort sounds pretty good in the Lightning, especially that you were in a lot of ways, from space to to the Blue Cruise and everything. And that's really great. Love to hear it. And I'm curious about the stations that you charge. Of course, you're able to charge at superchargers. You're able to charge at CCS infrastructure. Was it just Electrify America and Tesla that you were charging at along the way? Nothing else. Almost.
We had a Mercedes charge point charger in at a Buc-ee's in where was that, Mississippi or somewhere over there, where we met some viewers. They were awesome to be there and meet us there and scope out the station for us, and they witnessed Kyle doing his somewhat cheating maneuver of getting out of Buc-ee's, having management block all traffic for them, you know, Cybertruck celebrity status. But we had a great time at Buc-ee's. I mean, that was it was a blessing to hit a couple different Buc-ee's while they were on this trip. But otherwise, Electrify America, which was plug in. So I guess Mercedes, sorry, was the other one where you had to start with the app, or actually just tap to pay or something. ChargePoint app. So, but everything else was Electrify America and Tesla, and, you know, a lot of decent charging stops as far as amenities and situations. We never had to wait in line at chargers. We got close at one at our very last charging stop was a supercharger where we took literally the last spot. But otherwise, solid options. We, you know, like we said, a lot of different food options along the route, but a couple that were just, especially one, Electrify America. You guys remember that, where it was like kind of on the side of a hill overlooking some sort of scenery on a very sketchy old hotel.
Oh, where you put the drone up.
I threw the drone up on that.
Oh, well, yeah. This was like a really weird, like, movie you'd see on Channel 11 here in New York, WPIX. Like, a horror flick had definitely been filmed there before. No. And, you know, it was strange. It was very strange. No amenities.
Yeah. That's kind of a bummer. So did that make you, but also I've been at Tesla superchargers that are by a hotel, no amenities. I think it's really important as the infrastructure goes forward to have more and more amenities, just, you know, something you can rest, you can have a restroom, you can eat. Did you typically find that either CCS or the supercharger network were preferred, whether it was location right off the highway or the amenities, or was it a mix?
Supercharger is the best locations off the road. They're closest to the highway. They've got the best amenities. Not always, but I would say very close to always.
Yeah.
And you know, they always work, right?
Yeah. The only EA stops we took were forced on us because it was a part of the route where the only Tesla superchargers were V2s, not open to us. So the only EA stops, basically a bunch of times we had to choose whether we could choose EA or Tesla, and we always chose Tesla.
Right.
So the only times we went to EA was by force, and to its credit, it was fine. We didn't have any actual charging issues. Just not the most ideal locations pretty much ever. Like, it really disappoints me every time I have to go to EA, because it's inevitable that some or part of the chargers don't work and the location's just not ideal.
A question comes to my mind that you opted to use mostly Tesla superchargers for the charging in a vehicle that's one model year 2023, but has just gotten access to the supercharger network. Do you think that made a difference in your timing, aside from running out, of course?
When you say made a difference in timing, do you think it helped lower our timing or increased our timing? I'm curious.
I guess I'm wondering if that
if you think that has any factor in, yeah, the pretty dramatic difference between the other three trucks coming into San Diego and then y'all's, that time space in between. So slowing down your trip.
Yeah. I would say that had we not had access to the Tesla supercharger, it would have added at least another half hour. Just because of not so much because like the guys, they had decent charging, surprisingly, right? In the Silverado and the Rivian. But the distance that we often saw on Glimpse that those trucks had to get off the road and drive 2 miles or 3 miles up, we didn't have to do that as often with the supercharger. And so cumulatively, I think, how many charging stops did we do? Was it 15, 17, something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, about 50, somewhere between 10 and 15. I think it was 15.
I think it was 15. And we were only really able to, because charging after 80%, more than that, was a non-starter. The most we ever really would be comfortable going was at most 175, 180 miles. That was it. We couldn't go 200 miles unless we stayed on the hook over 80%, which was super slow at that point. It just dropped below 100.
Okay. Just curious.
And we were able to pick, you know, when it was a Tesla versus EA decision, I think we ended up with Tesla most of the time, but it's mostly because of their proximity to the highway. Sometimes EA was just a few miles off the highway, which when you're in a town is 10 minutes. And that's just not ideal. I mean,
I did make one mistake and I own up to it in Katy, Texas, right?
Right. Yeah.
Nothing to do with my daughter, Katy. This is K-A-T-Y. And both these dudes are sound asleep. And I'm like, I got this, right? And I pull in and I'm all ready. And we get out of the car, the truck, and it has those stupid little rings and the hoses are the cords are much thicker. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's a V2. And like, I'm so sorry, guys. And then we had no idea where the closest V3 was. And we were pretty down low in the pack. And luckily, there was a Buc-ee's only about 4 miles away. Oof. And we ended up, and by the way, I highly recommend going Buc-ee's at 3 a.m. because nobody's there. You know, we did see a Prius that was plugged into a Tesla supercharger at that Buc-ee's. And I don't know what that guy was doing other than sleeping and pretending he was charging because he was not charging. But he had the cord plugged into his Prius somehow. And like, that was crazy. So,
do you think he retrofitted?
No, this was total BS. This was like, I'm going to pretend I'm charging and I'm just going to go to sleep. And he had on one of those things in the front and on the side windows.
It was a sketchy looking Prius, but you know, to Dave's credit, that was a unique case where there was a relatively small town that had somehow two different Tesla supercharger entities and it just happened to navigate to the V2 instead of the V3. So it was pretty easy to find the V3 after that, but minor setback.
Good. Yep. I mean, this kind of reminds me of the question of, would you do anything differently? Like, I know this was kind of all last minute and stuff and you learn things along the way, but if you had to think kind of big picture, would you look into the topography of the route that you're doing to know like how much, you know, how that's going to affect your range? Would you really look into the weather? Would you map out every station and do all of the back of the envelope?
Definitely map? Not. Okay, I think mapping out a station, mapping out a cross-country plan is a waste of time. You've got to be able to be interactively, you know, based on how far you went. Did you charge? Did you leave too early? Did you leave too late? Especially on such a long trip, you're never going to be able to plan it out unless it's super conservative. And then I think it's the slowest way to do it. I think you just got to call audibles on every single station. As soon as you plug in, you know, you have time. You have 45 minutes. So yes, you need to eat, of course, because this is the food, you know, the food run. But after you do that, what are we looking at? We're looking at where are we going next? What are we doing? And you do that interactively throughout the trip. That's the way I think we did it. And I don't think I would change that going forward. Do you guys agree?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you're making a plan, that big of a plan, you're just making a plan that you're definitely going to change because of all the complex and dynamic factors that affect this. Okay. By the end, You saw yourself kind of fall behind, but you're still doing your best. Obviously, you're giving it your all. You run out because you are given a different range than obviously what was actually your range. Finally, you're pulling into San Diego. How does that feel? What happens? And what was your efficiency by the end of it?
Oh, we didn't even talk about efficiency. We need to do that. The efficiency on this vehicle was quite poor. It was about 1.7 miles per kilowatt hour, if I recall, overall, the whole trip.
Yeah.
Was that, Jordan, you remember that? I think it was 1.7.
It really varied, you know, with a lot of things. Like I said, at some points we had a headwind, sometimes tailwind, but I think on average about 1.7 to 1.8 is typically what we saw. Sometimes a bit less in some stretches, but as kind of an average, it was, 1.7 is what I'd say. And that's not amazing at all, but it's a brick going down the road. Ford intentionally didn't redesign the truck. They kept it F-150 shaped. It's compatible with all the existing F-150 accessories. It flies under the radar. I mean, it was funny, especially in the beginning of the trip where we were all neck and neck. You know, we all left at the same time with full batteries. So seeing people almost crashing, looking at the Cybertruck. Meanwhile, no one even knows we're in an electric truck. So it was kind of a very different experience.
Definitely. Andreas, what would you say was your favorite part of the trip? Of course, besides finally pulling in to Dog Beach.
So you mean aside from getting Taco Bell in Louisiana?
Unless that was your highlight.
So I would just say that the trip itself, you know, driving through the U.S. from east to west, seeing the different parts of the country, you know, you start out in Florida, then go through Louisiana, then Texas, then Arizona, completely different, and New Mexico too. Then you hit California, which is amazing. Coming up, you see all the wind turbines, and then you come down to San Diego, just amazing sceneries you get to see on those drives. I think just being part of the trip was my highlight. There was like not one moment I would pick out. Also us bonding, I think, you know, as a team, also with the truck. We already mentioned it, but I think we all bonded with the truck. I had to say goodbye to it on Sunday when Kyle gave it back to Ford. The bonding, the people, the experience, and just meeting new folks.
Yeah, one thing you won't see in the video because we would get copyrighted, we had a couple of theme songs. And so, you know, we had the Willie Nelson, you know, On the Road Again, and we were singing and we cranked the tunes. And then, and then when we were in Texas, you know, I had to bring out all my exes live in Texas. And we, you know, and there was some bad singing, there was some beef jerky. But you know what? I loved spending time with these guys. I really enjoyed getting to know each one of them. I don't think we'll ever forget this experience. I hope we don't, because it's a time. This is a point in time for what that race represented. Now, when you think about it, the race would be very different today, potentially a week later, because Rivian now has access to the supercharger network, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a really interesting point in time to document what it's like to you know, run these trucks across the country. And I for one, you know, I had such a great time. I really enjoyed myself. And like I said, getting to know both Andreas, who I didn't know at all, and Jordan, who I know quite well, but I got to know him better. Some things I'll tell you about, some things I won't, but that's a different issue. One last point I want to make. You know, when you take a road trip, you're in there for 6 hours, 7 hours, you get out of whether it's the car or the truck, and you're sore. I never felt sore getting in and out of this truck. So comfortable.
Wow. Like,
this is an amazing road tripper from comfort, from Blue Cruise. Nobody else had the kind of comfort that we had, and nobody else had the long charging sessions that we had. So we had a very different experience, and I think that came through in the videos, and some people maybe were teasing us a little bit about that. But I really do believe, with the exception of maybe a half hour, 40 minutes being left on the tape for not being quite as good at optimizing as Kyle and Drew say. The mistake that I made cost us a solid 20 minutes going in Katie to the V2. But other than that, you know, I think it's an amazing road tripper. I really love the vehicle.
Great. Yeah. Okay. That leads me to my last question. Yes, Andreas, I want you to be able to make your point though.
One more comment. The shower was a highlight. The shower after the trip, you know, after being stuck in the car for 52 hours, taking a shower. Yeah.
Oh really my amazing. God. I could only imagine how good that feels to one be out of the car, like in a room, in a building.
Yeah.
And I then say, though, to shower.
Our truck, I kind of, you know, inevitably smelled the other trucks after we got back. And I think ours smelled the least bad, if I have to say so. But
despite the food options,
the highlight for me, I think, was the food and the bonding, like Dave said, was that was.
Poor me and our audience, we just keep hearing about how these trucks smelled. And I'm like such a like, oh my God. So audience, be prepared.
You know, I think there's something wrong with us because it really didn't smell that bad. I don't know. Yeah. Usually it does. I have to admit it. But, you know, like wasn't that bad. I'm kind of shocked looking back on it.
All roses for the team Lightning. My last question is, if you were to do it again, would you take the Lightning or would you opt for a different electric truck? Starting with Jordan, going to Andreas, ending with Dave, what is your answer?
I am just so enamored with the Cybertruck, not because of its stupidity necessarily. It's just there's so many things about it that check the boxes I care about. I am such a software and sound system enthusiast, and those are the things that it absolutely excels at. I have enjoyed the Ford, but just cannot appreciate the software at all because it's so slow. The layout's fine. The UI is pretty good. UX, on the other hand, is a bit rough around the edges. So I would probably say Cybertruck at this point in time, but I've grown to like them all okay. So I don't want to say Switzerland and just be like, oh, they're all great, but they all are impressive. There's none that I would be like, oh gosh, I can't believe I'm stuck with this one.
Okay, Andreas?
I agree with Jordan. I love the Cybertruck. I was in Trippin' Time on the Lightning, right? Silverado, amazing, has a lot of range, but my bladder wouldn't be compatible with this range of the Silverado. Rivian, I also got to drive last weekend. Amazing car, amazing brand. But the Cybertruck, it's just, like Jordan said, the software, the UI alone, you know? It's so snappy. The sound system, honestly, the sound system is my favorite part of the Cybertruck. I would go for Cybertruck. Yeah, it's just the most interesting vehicle, I would say. But I love all of them. Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if Dave, are you going to pick the Cybertruck or mix it up?
I think that thing's stupid. I there's no way. I just road tripped my Model X back from Denver here to Connecticut over the weekend. So comfortable, the glass window. But I would say I'd pick the F-150 again. And the reason I would say that is because chances are I'm not going to be racing. I'm just going to be on a road trip and super comfortable. Blue Cruise was great. I'd probably want a Platinum because that stereo set, they put the speakers and the headrests. And I mean, it's just amazing. I would like to have it give me an extra 50 miles of range on a road trip. And so I think I would stick with the F-150, but from a pure interest standpoint, because I've spent time now in the Cybertruck, I've spent time in the Rivian, I'd love to get my hands on like a really decked out Silverado with the big ass battery pack and see what that would be like out of curiosity. But I loved the comfort of that F-150. I think I would go back in the F-150, even though we had issues.
Okay. Really interesting. Y'all are the last podcast that I'm recording, though it's the first podcast going live about this truck race with the inside scoop from the teams on the podcast. So I've heard all of your experiences and I'm going to still think about which truck I think I would take. I mean, it also depends on the team too, because there were different approaches. There's different dynamics, although everyone by the end of it, like made new friends and would do it again. Everyone was like, I'd do it again. You know, I maybe might go in that truck or that truck, but I'd do it again. So I can't wait to be a part of the next one, but I'd also
love to know from our audience what questions you have remaining for the F-150 Lightning team that drove coast to coast, Jordan, Andreas, and Out of Spec Dave, because I'm sure there's more questions that y'all have, but it is really cool. You made a point. This is the first thing of its kind, the first electric truck race from Jacksonville to San Diego, truly. Unless we miss someone else, they're just not recording it. They're doing it for fun and they're not putting it on the internet. Otherwise, I think it's a really interesting point in time. How are these electric trucks capable of this kind of crazy thing? But then what does it teach us about the broad world at all? You know, this big new space that we're moving into. So I really appreciate y'all coming onto the podcast and telling me all of the behind the scene details. And I hope that our audience will check out the very long, but 3 episodes of the Coast to Coast road trip themselves. So thank you, Jordan, Andreas, and Out of Spec Dave for coming on the podcast.
I do have one point I do want to make that, you know, if it weren't for the breakdown, we would have come in maybe 4 hours behind everyone else, maybe 5. In the grand scheme of things, racing across the country, you know, people are going to hone in on that fact. They're going to be like, wow, the Lightning was hours behind everyone else. But when you look at the coast to coast, 2,400 miles, the first place got about 40 hours. We would have been about 44. So that's a 10% difference. 10% mm-hmm. is not a big difference. So I just want to make that point. Over any shorter amount of distance, it would have been a bit more neck and neck. So it was just elongated by that pure length. But hey, all the guys who got there first missed all the gorgeous scenery that we got to see in California. So
oh yeah,
always a silver lining for correct. Y'all. Of course, you got to find it. So I appreciate your positive attitude, and you know, it doesn't sound like it was the easiest thing, but of course, it's all an experiment and experience, and you can make it into whatever it is. And I think that y'all learned a lot, no matter what.
Totally. Francie, you got to come on the next one. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
I do. I was like, Kyle, just wait a couple days and I can make it. But of course he couldn't. And I've said it in some other podcasts too. But yeah, I'd love like a truck or whatever, an EV full of chicks. We got to get some more girls in on this because I think that would be fun too, and mix it up and see, you know, a battle of all the people. But I'd love to be a part of the next race. I cannot wait. I'm sure that Spring World, the VFA, will come in first.
One other quick thing is, as much as we were all competitive, what I liked about all the teams and especially Kyle's leadership on this race, which I know he's my son, but I thought everyone was really helping each other and suggesting to each other, here's what you should try to do. It wasn't until that last section where we shut down the glimpse and no one could see where they were, you know, like that was like wait, was that on this race? I can't remember, but we helped each other even though we were in a race, because what we really were trying to do was do the best we could to showcase the capabilities of the cars, not necessarily the drivers. And so that I think was a great spirit, and not one that I would have expected. I would have, oh, we're racing, where I'm not going to tell you what to do or what, but it really was more of a camaraderie team effort to help everyone do the best that they could for their trucks. So that was great.
Yeah, I love it. I think that is completely essential as we move into electrifying our transportation, is sharing of information on this small scale, but also large scale across the industry with different experts to really give that insight. You know, of course they'll have their business secrets, but if we're actually going to do this and do it in a way that doesn't fall on its face too many times, we got to share information, we got to work together. So I think that is a great lesson learned, and I'm glad. Yeah, I think everyone had so much fun from what I've heard. So stay tuned, audience, to more stories from the other teams, Rivian, Cybertruck, and Silverado, to see how their trip went from coast to coast. Thank you again, Lightning team, for coming onto the podcast. We'll see you next time, everyone, for our next truck episode or whatever you tune into next on the Out of Spec podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.